जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टेक्स्ट 51। अहम वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म, ममो भेशाश्वती तनु। अहम वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म, ममो भेशाश्वती तनु। अहम वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावना शब्द ब्रह्मा परं ब्रह्मा, ममो भेशाश्वती तनु। अहम वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म, ममो भेशाश्वती तनु। अहम वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः శబ్ద బ్రహ్మ పరం బ్రహ్మ మమోభేషశ్రుతీతను. అహం వై సర్వభూతాని హరి ఓం. భూతాత్మా భూత భావన శబ్ద బ్రహ్మ పరం బ్రహ్మ మమోభే శాశ్వతీతను. ఓకే, వన్ మోర్, గో అహెడ్. డిడ్ యు స్టార్ట్? అహం వై సర్వభూతాని భూతాత్మా భూతభావన శబ్ద బ్రహ్మ పరం బ్రహ్మ మమోభే శాశ్వతీతను. అహం, ఐ, వై, ఇండీడ్, సర్వభూతాని ఎక్స్పెండెడ్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, భూత ఆత్మ, ద సూపర్ సోల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, ద సుప్రీం డైరెక్టర్ అండ్ ఎంజాయర్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్, భూత భావన, ద కాజ్ ఫర్ ద మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, శబ్ద బ్రహ్మ, ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ సౌండ్ వైబ్రేషన్, ద హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్ర, పరం బ్రహ్మ, ద సుప్రీం అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్, మమ, మై, ఉభే, బౌత్, నేమ్లీ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ సౌండ్ అండ్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఐడెంటిటీ, శాశ్వతి, ఇటర్నల్, తను, టూ బాడీస్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పుర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి జాయ్. Those of you who have electronic stuff, I'm assuming you're with us, because this is a long purport and I would like all of us to be here, like present here. So please come to this verse if you're not, okay? What I'm going to do today is, instead of reading the entire purport at one stretch and then losing, we're going to go section after section, discuss questions, whatever, or adding and then move. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Okay. The science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step, and when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Pumartho Mahan, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tap Yena Mam Upayantite. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So translation, Prabhupada writes, this is the Lord speaking. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. So our philosophy is of Buddhist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution to the understanding of, the jiva's relationship with God. It's called simultaneous oneness and difference in Sanskrit, achintya, bheda, abheda, tattva. So here the Lord is describing that. He says, they are all my expansions and they are separate from me. Then, Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph, that Chitraketu was able to see the Lord face to face because he practiced devotional service, Prabhupada writes, step by step, as instructed by Narada Muni, and that brought him face to face with the Lord. So the question is, it's many times we hear that it is not our effort, it is the mercy of the Lord. But in this, he seems to convey that Chitraketu, by performing devotional service, one advances step by step. So, how do we, understand this? Very good. The devotional service is the only way to almost oblige Krishna. It also means that yes, we are dependent on Krishna's mercy to pull us out of material condition. It also means we have to make effort. Although, here's the distinction. We have to make effort as if our entire progress depends on us. And that effort is to get, like Vaisheshika Prabhu likes to say, a mustard seed worth of mercy from Krishna. And that is enough to take us out of this material existence. Mustard seed worth. So he would say, when he was here, he said, we can pray to Krishna every day. Please give me one mustard seed worth of mercy. Because that's a lot. For a microbe, a mustard seed is quite huge. So he says, please give me a mustard seed of mercy, mustard seed size mercy today. But we have to make effort as if our entire progress depends on our effort. Although the truth is it's not the effort. Then why make the effort? If everything is Krishna's mercy, I just have to be around here and I'll get back to Godhead. Why do we have to make effort? Krishna wants to see how serious we are. Jeremy, what were you going to say? Yeah, we have to demonstrate to Krishna every day that we are serious about getting his mercy. It's not a cheap thing. Getting money is a cheap thing. Getting fame in this world is a cheap thing. But getting Krishna's attention is not a cheap thing. We have to demonstrate to Krishna that I am worthy. We have to make ourselves worthy of Krishna's attention. Because Krishna is already paying full attention to Srimati Radharani and all his wonderful devotees, who just by their whatever they speak, they think and do is very attractive to Krishna. Very attractive. So then what makes us get like a fraction of Krishna's attention? That's, we have to demonstrate that sincerity. Just as in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the place where there is some discussion about determination, Prabhupada narrates the story of the little sparrow. Once the ocean took away the sparrow's eggs, and that little sparrow, she demanded, "Give me my eggs back." And the ocean, forget it, no way. The ocean was being a bully. So the sparrow, in her gutsy, I guess, spirit, said, "Give me back my eggs or I'm going to drink you up." So the ocean was really curious. He said, "Yeah, try me, do it." So the sparrow began taking tiny beakfuls of water. Now any one of us knows that's an impossible task, right? Kept on doing it, like so determined, as if she was going to do it. And she didn't stop. She didn't think, "Oh, such a big ocean, I shouldn't have said it. What was I thinking?" She didn't even have friends who said, "Come on, what are you thinking?" They didn't discourage. There was no one to discourage her. She did it. And she knew she won't be able to do it. And the ocean knew for sure it ain't happening. But that determination was so serious, so ecstatic, that Garuda, it came to Garuda's attention. So he flew in. And he stood next to the sparrow and told the ocean, "Now you return my sister's eggs or I'm going to drink you up." And the ocean knew. For Garuda, it's one and finished, right? The ocean was here. So that is the idea of calling for Krishna's mercy. Is the determination should be very, very strong. And there are enough things to weaken our determination. We'll come back to that statement. And when Mother Lakshmi Muni was here, she gave a nice definition of determination. She said, determination means doing the right thing, whether it feels good or not. Or doing the right thing, even if it doesn't feel good. But that's what determination is. We have to do the right thing. The right thing is to stay or to cultivate being in the constitutional position as a servant of Krishna, as the servant of the devotees. It's easier to be the servant of Krishna. It's very difficult to be the servant of the devotees. But Krishna wants us to be the servant of his devotees. Because it's very easy to come in front of Krishna. He's on the altar, all the decorations are on him, all the bhoga goes to him, the flowers go to him, the songs go to him, the money goes to him. So you say, "I'm your servant." It's a little easy to say. But to say, "I'm the servant of the devotee?" Oh, because the devotees sometimes are very loving, sometimes moody, sometimes like this, sometimes like that, a little unpredictable this way, that way, whatever. It's just sometimes. It's just always some excitement. And also that because the devotees are also seemingly not, we are very clear that they are not the cause of all causes. They are the only cause of my problems. Other than that, they are the cause of nothing. To become their servant is what Krishna is looking for. How much can you be my devotee's servant? There's a beautiful story in the Sri Vaishnava tradition about Shailapurna. So this Shailapurna was an amazing devotee. He used to fan Lord Varadaraj every day. The deity is called Varadaraja. Varada, like Narada. Narada means one who gives Lord Narayan. Varada means one who gives blessings. Vara. Da. And he is called Raja. He is the king of blessing giving. The king in giving blessings. So very merciful deity. And Shailapurna used to fan. His service was to fan the deity every day. And his relationship with the deity was so intimate that the deity would talk to him every day. Hey, so how are you today? How are things going? How are the devotees? It's too hot today. Boga, a little salt extra. Whatever, they had conversations every day. One day, Shailapurna met a devotee. The devotee said, you're very close to the Lord. Can you please ask him if I will ever come back to Vaikuntha? Shailapurna the other day, the next day when he was fanning, he said, I have a question if you don't mind me asking. And he said, yeah, sure. He said, that devotee, such and such name, he wants to know when he will come back to Vaikuntha. So the Lord said, you let him know. At the end of this life, he is coming back to Vaikuntha to be with me. Shailapurna said, oh, thank you. I'm sure he'll be very happy. I'll let him know. So as he's fanning, the natural question occurs to him, right? It would occur to us also. And that is, when will I? So he asked Varadaraj, when will I come back to Vaikuntha? So Varadaraj said, see, you like the intimacy, you're fanning me and all that, I talk to you, that's very good. But you can't come to Vaikuntha because you're always busy serving me. That devotee is a servant of the other devotee. So he's coming to Vaikuntha after this life. For you, there's some more time. Till you serve the devotees, there's some time for you. Shailapurna was like, wow, a little bewildered. So he humbly asked the Lord, can I keep the fan down and just go from here and serve the devotees? He said, yeah, you can go. So Shailapurna kept the fan down. Of course, we shouldn't take it in the way that we should stop serving Krishna. No more singing kirtan or offering aarti because I'm not going to. That's not the spirit. But you get the idea. The intimacy was very, very tight. So he kept the fan down, walked away. And he said, I've got to go serve the devotee. And thing is, Shailapurna was such an advanced devotee. If you were to go to any devotee and say, can I serve you? They're like, what are you talking? You're such a senior. So he devised a plan. He walked from one city into a whole different place and went to another devotee called Mahapurna, who was a very close devotee of the Lord as well. So he went to Mahapurna's house, and Mahapurna had never met Shailapurna, had only heard about him. So he removed all his Vaishnava cloth, all this. You know, Sri Vaishnavas have this very prominent tilak. You know, ours is very thin line. By the time it is 10 o'clock, it's hardly there. But for them, it's like strong lines everywhere, like big tilak marks. And they have, at the time of their initiation, they are branded. On this side, by the Lord's conch, and on this side, by the Lord's chakra. I mean, that initiation is very permanent. It's always a reminder. For us, sometimes we forget. This is always there. And if you can see it, it's branded for life. That you're Vishnu's servant. Like that. So he removed all of that, disguised it, went in tattered cloth, and asked, can I do some seva for you? So Mahapurna said, yeah, we're looking for someone in our barn to take care of the cows. Can you do it? Yes, I will. Very Shudra-like service. So he went every day, he would wash the cows, clean up all the cow dung, wash the barn area, put it nice up, clean and everything. And he worked like that for 6 months and no one knew. But he was Shailapurna and he also never said, do you know actually who I am? Nothing, no pretense, just humble service. So one day it rained very heavily. And so the barn, of course, was leaking. So all the clothes that Shailapurna had, they became wet. So So the day service was over, so Shaila Purna put out all those tattered cloth aside. Then just because he was going to end the day, he put on his Vaishnava cloth and his tilak, wanted to recite some prayers. He was there. Now inside the house, Mahapurna suddenly said, it's raining very heavily. Because heavy rains in America, we don't know what that is. We only know snow blizzard. But you should go to India to see what heavy rain really means. It's really bad. He said, it's raining. And that person who's in the cow barn, I don't know how he's doing. Maybe he needs some help. I should take him some fresh cloth or something. So Mahapurna went. And he went into the barn. He looked for him, found in a corner of this Prabhu. Full tilak, Vaishnav cloth, Shankha Chakra, all like that. You know, reciting prayers. And he said, what is this? You're a Vaishnav. Who are you? What is your name? Very humbly said, my name is Shaila Purna. I said, what? You are the Shaila Purna? The person who fans Lord Varadaraj? Please, you're fired. Don't do this. You're going to embarrass me. The Lord will be very upset that I employed you. I didn't even know. Please forgive me. Fell at his feet. Please. So Shaila Purna said, okay, what to do? I have to go back to fanning Varadaraj. Because others were like, no, you can't do this. So he came back, picked up the fan, and was fanning Varadaraj. So the deity turned to him and said, now you can come to Vaikuntha. You've got your ticket. So the ticket to Vaikuntha is the service to the devotees. Whoever it is, serving the devotees is our ticket. So this is our way of demonstrating. The point here, the connection is, of course, that's not the only way. Of course, it's by chanting our Hare Krishna mantra sincerely, by following the principles sincerely, by following the instruction of the spiritual master very, very sincerely, serving the Vaishnavas very sincerely. This is how we progress step by step. In the sense, this is what is attracting Krishna's attention. Otherwise, there's nothing that attracts his attention. Nothing. You can come and recite any number of prayers, do all these gymnastics people do here. But if they're inimical to the devotees, they don't mind. Krishna doesn't care. So that's the first part. And how does Krishna reciprocate? He says, within the core of his heart, he speaks to the devotee. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantate. Krishna speaks to the devotee. Yeah, we'd like Krishna to speak to us because we offer so many prayers and so many things. Krishna never speaks to us. We wonder what is going on. Never. But as we demonstrate our sincerity, he will speak to us. It's a guarantee. Prabhupada is giving us that guarantee. He will speak to us. Okay, any comments or questions to this part? Okay, I guess that's no. The next paragraph. The essence of knowledge. So the previous paragraph is connected this way. The last sentence says, therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. So what is the essence of knowledge? The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu or substances. One is real and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. So one is two substances, one is real and the other is illusory. One is factual, the other is a reflection, which is spirit and matter. One must consider these two kinds of existence. Why? Because that is all that exists. And why Prabhupada says one must consider these two? One reason is all that exists. What else? Well, though we should distinguish between the two. What else? Because this is our condition. Spirit and matter. Soul trapped in, exactly, to get out of this place. Whenever we are lost, the first thing we should know, if we want to directions from someone, the first thing we should know is where we are. Because we say, hey Prabhu, can you give me directions? I'm lost. That Prabhu will ask, where are you? So it's to know where we are at. Spirit and matter. Everything in this material creation has spirit and matter combination. In the spiritual world, it's all spirit. Here is spirit and matter combination. The soul trapped in the body. Different material combinations, different life forms, soul, spirit and matter combination. The real tattva or truth consists of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, 11th verse, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan combined are the substance. In the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada defines absolute truth. And the understanding of absolute truth is a little different than the understanding of God. And Prabhupada says absolute truth means God and God's energies together. So the material creation, the spiritual existence, the personality of Godhead, his Paramatma feature, Brahman feature, the living entities, all of this together is called absolute truth. Krishna is the absolute truth because everything is he and his. Prabhupada would say there are only two things, Krishna and Krishna's, that which belongs to Krishna. There is no third thing. There isn't a third thing. He would answer this, especially when some people would say, Swamiji, is there a void in creation? Prabhupada said, there is no void. Everything is Krishna and Krishna's, nothing third. Krishna and Krishna's, which means everything in creation is Krishna. If there were a void or there was a third category, we would think it is mine. So Krishna already made it clear, everything is mine. Into the details of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Okay, it is complicated, we can, but anyway, we understand it. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two. So he is drawing a map for us. There is something called Vastu or substance, and that has two categories. That which is factual and that which is a reflection or illusory. And in the illusory, there are again two, activities and forbidden activities, karma and vikarma. Karma refers to the pious life or material activities performed during the day and the mental activities of dreams at night. It's very nice, huh? Even our mental activity at night. It comes into the category of piety. What are we dreaming about? These are more or less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities, which are something like the will-o'-the-wisp. These are activities that have no meaning. So karma means activities that have some meaning, that have some value. And vikarma means activities that have no meaning and no value. So we can see, if we take an honest look at ourselves before we met the devotees, about what percent of our activities fall into either of these categories? What's the proportion? Zero for karma? You're a very pious soul. Yeah, usually almost 100% vikarma and a very small fraction of what's that called, karma, something meaningful or valuable. Valuable is always, here's a nice definition, valuable means anything done with others in mind, because value cannot be just for me. It has to be in reference to me and others, because we live in a, I guess, social setting, if you will. Even self-realization only for me, according to Prahlad Maharaj, doesn't have much value. I mean, it is nice, but he says, what's the point? Right? Maunam charanti vijane na pararth nishtha naitan vihaya vimukṣa eko nanyam tvadasya charanam bhramato anupashye. Says, my dear Lord, there is a dire need for Krishna consciousness. And if I am not doing anything for the needs of others, then what's the point of my self-realization? Great personalities, so-called great personality, maunam charanti, they keep quiet, they don't say anything to anyone. Vijane, vijane means without any others, in solitude, they go to the Himalayas. What's the point? When there is an absence of Krishna consciousness. So valuable means when it is benefiting us and others. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations. And they are very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world, although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikarma, because it has no value. Here Prabhupada, it's vikarma refers to illusory activities which are like the will-o'-the-wisp. These activities have no meaning. So heavy scientific research into bringing about life by combining chemicals, it's not going to happen. Why? Because what is our answer? That combining chemicals will not bring life, because life comes from life. Spirit comes from spirit, doesn't come from matter. It's as fundamental as that. But the reason it can get very confusing or debatable is because there are some scientists who believe that within matter there is consciousness. And that is what they're trying to derive. So they do a lot of research in the field of quantum mechanics, because the electron, it moves between two states of being. One is particle, the other is energy. It keeps shifting. And then that's like the foundation of that research. Because it's energy, they feel that energy implies consciousness. And so there is this whole idea that there is consciousness in matter. And our acharyas say, there is no consciousness in matter. Life cannot come from matter, because matter by nature is dead, inert, unconscious. It cannot. All right. All material activities are actually illusory. So, whether it is karma or vikarma, it falls in the category of non-substance. So yesterday I was having a conversation with one old friend whom I had met after many years. And he was a very intelligent person. very intelligent, asks fantastic questions, but finds it difficult to move from his position. And yesterday I could tell, you cannot move because you're holding on to an idea very strongly. And first time after many years, he said, that is true, I am. So that's great progress, because there at least there is acknowledgement. Because before that, no one acknowledges that I'm holding on to an attachment, an idea. So his question, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but his question to me was, why do we have to perform these activities or pujas and all that for those who have those who have died, our relatives, especially parents and all that? One is supposed to perform certain activities. Remember, we've heard this, the word putra means one who relieves the parents from this hell called put. So I went in detail as to why, what happens exactly. And the essence of it is that we should perform those activities, a son should do, because it relieves the parents and ancestors from their subtle body condition. They're called preta. Preta means ghost. Basically, it means without a gross body. The subtle body is there, it has desires, but it cannot acquire a gross body. And the person's offering a pinda to Lord Vishnu, that Mahaprasad relieves them. It relieves them from their preta condition to get another gross body. So it will transfer them into the womb of another mother. And my point was, what's the point? What have you done for the family other than, okay, some benefit is they're not in a ghostly condition. But you've put them in the womb of another mother and their life is perpetuating. So what's the point here? Why wouldn't you rather do something by which their cycle of birth and death for once and all finishes? So rather perform devotional service. This is real activities. The karma kanda and all that, although according to Vedic system, it's still within the purview of non-substance. And I think for him, the light bulb went on. All material activities are actually illusory, and the progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. Progress in illusion. What is the progress in illusion? Great scientific advancement, newer techniques of doing things in the material world, or even being very pious to go up to the heavenly planets or other planets by good karma is simply a waste of time. What does Bhagavatam say about waste of time? The hand was raised. Increasing the pages of material history. What is a waste of time? Specifically those activities that do not provoke an attraction to hearing about Krishna. Vishvaksena kathasuyaha na utpadayadi ratim. If one doesn't create attraction for hearing, shrama eva hi kevalam. It's a useless, whatever one has done, it is completely useless. So whatever activities we have, of course by Prabhupada's grace, most of us, our activities are mostly devotional. It's the mind that's the problem, but mostly activities are devotional. But even if one has work that one does outside, that activity must be done in a spirit of service to Krishna, by which hearing, attraction for hearing will grow. If by one's occupational activities, oh, I'm too busy at work, blah, 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 I have no time to hear, there's no interest, then that's the alarm bell that something is wrong. Na utpada yadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. Bhagavatam is very clear. Our occupational duties should give us inspiration to hear about Krishna. Whether we are student, professional, whatever activities we are doing, it should bring about a desire. want to hear about Krishna. It's a waste of time. These illusory activities are called akarya, and one must learn of them from the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why should we learn about activities that are a waste of time? Exactly. If we don't know, then we'd be doing those activities. Now, if we know that these activities are a waste of time, then we will not do. So it is according to Ishopanishad, we have to learn that which is transcendental and that which is material side by side. Otherwise, we cannot distinguish. We think that which is material is actually spiritual. How many people have you met who say, I'm doing my duty? My duty is to earn a living, take care of my family, and whatever, and have nothing to do with anything remotely Krishna conscious. You met people like that? Sure. All the time. We all came from there. When we say, have you met anyone? The answer should be, yes, myself. We have very, very diligent in our... We think that that is the sense of duty. That in this material world, I should earn a living, I should make my place, blah, blah. It's... All those things have value if they're done in a spirit of service to Krishna. If not, it's illusory. It's illusory for this reason. It makes you think you're on the right track when you're on the wrong track. That's why they're illusory. And they convince us, no, you're good. Karmanyeva adhikaraste. Most Indian people will quote you this verse in your preaching. If you ever meet any person from India and you try to help them move from their position, you can, in a bat of an eyelid, they will quote you, Karmanyeva adhikaraste. Then you ask them, can you quote the rest of the shloka? And you know what they will say? Oh yeah, four lines. Karmanyevadhikaraste, 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 Karmanyevadhikaraste. That's it, that's their shloka. They forget, Ma Faleshu Kadachana, Ma Karma Palahetu, Ma Te Sangastu Vikarmani. All that is not relevant. Karmanyevadhikaraste. So what happens when you hear only 1/4 of the instruction? If Krishna ever says, don't drink poison, and we don't hear the don't. Krishna said, drink poison. I can show you, drink poison. Prabhu, it says, don't drink poison. But it says, drink poison, right? This is how. Only 1/4 the instruction. Karmanyevadhikaraste is bogus. It has no meaning. It is a way of justifying their nonsense. We also do. Now separately, whatever nonsense we do, we quote a shloka along with it. Hey, Krishna said, he authorized my nonsense. Or we hold those verses as a crutch. It says like this. So to learn side by side. So in 4th chapter, 17th verse, Prabhupada's quoting, Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanash cha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. And to make things even more complicated, on one hand we are hearing the instruction, one should know what is real activity, what is illusory activity side by side, right? Very good. And then Krishna's instruction is, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Krishna is supposed to help me here. Therefore, one should know properly what is action and what is forbidden action and what inaction is. And actually in this section, Krishna says that what should be done and what should not be done, kavayo api mohitaha, that even the greatly learned persons, they're bewildered about it. And then we'll say, what's my hope? If the greatly learned persons are bewildered, what's my hope? Well, the answer is, because in this chapter comes that pivotal verse after saying one should know what is one activity versus other activity. The greatly learned persons are also bewildered. that therefore one should approach a spiritual master and remove that bewilderment. Very important. Otherwise, we will not know what to do, what not to do. Mostly we will take all things we are not supposed to do as that we should do. This is what Narottam Das Thakur's instruction is in the song Nithai Pada Kamala. Because it's a song about Lord Nityananda, who's the spiritual master. And it's a beautiful song. Beautiful, beautiful song. Nithai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala. And in that song he says that one who has not accepted Lord Nityananda, such a person Asatyera Satya Karimani. Such a person accepts all illusion as real. So our whole life is spent in illusory activities. We are thinking there is some substance, there is some meaning in this. It is like trying to dig in sand. It's very difficult. It's a lot of effort. Nothing comes from it. One must learn of these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who as Anant Deva is instructing King Chitraketu because of the advanced stage of devotional service he achieved by following the instructions of Narada and Angira. There you go. Okay, next. Herein it is said, Aham vai sarva bhutani. So now from there he's going into the first line of the verse. Aham vai sarva bhutani. The Lord is everything, sarva bhutani, including the living entities and the material or physical elements. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7, 4 and 5, Bhumirapa nalo vayu kham mano buddhire vacha ahankara itiyam me bhinna prakriti rashtada apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. How are the living entities sustaining the universe? Yes, through the desire for being separate from Krishna, and the mechanics of it is, what do they do? What do living entities do? In the desire separate from Krishna, they? Yeah, but horrible work doesn't create the next generation. What creates the next generation? Mostly it's procreation. The living entities are very busy procreating, by which the next and the next and the next generation keeps going. Perpetually there is a cycle. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. The living entity tries to lord it over the material or physical elements, but both the physical elements and the spiritual spark are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore the Lord says, Aham vai sarva bhutani, I am everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, these two energies, the physical elements and the living entities, emanate from the Supreme Lord. Therefore the Lord says, Aham vai sarva bhutani. Same, it's a theme. I expand the physical and spiritual categories. So in the Bhagavad Gita, where does Krishna say this? Two places. He says it in many places, but two places. I am everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavah mata sarvam pravartate. Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. Everything material and spiritual comes from me. I am the source of everything and I pervade everything and everything is resting upon me as pearls strung on a string. And another place? Matta parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Okay. There is nothing other than me. Again, the Lord, as the super soul, guides the living entities who are conditioned by physical atmosphere. Therefore, he is called Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. So since he is everything, and the living entity is his energy, the energetic guides the energy. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return home back to Godhead. Or if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. Clear? Krishna gives direction depending upon our disposition. If we want to come back to him, he will give us intelligence by which we can attain him. And if we don't want to, he'll give us the intelligence by which we can make our condition in the material world comfortable. And he gives us a warning with that comfort desire. What does he say? Is there comfort in the material world? Dukhalayam shashvatam. And then he says again in the 9th chapter, anityam asukham lokam. He says both. Dukhalayam is a house of misery. And he also says asukham, that there's no happiness. Same thing from both sides. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvascha chaham hridi sannivishtah mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living being the intelligence with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors, our endeavors begin. Understand the connection? If Krishna gives direction, only then we can do something. So it's his endeavor first, then ours. It's the intelligence which is the driver, both literally and figuratively speaking. Intelligence is the driver. So when the intelligence from Krishna gives us a prompt, then our intelligence is activated. We cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything. Therefore, the Lord is Bhuta Bhavanaha. Another specific feature of, if we had more time, I would get into this, how intelligence from Krishna activates our intelligence. Tomorrow someone else is speaking. I don't know who it is. Will they like to do? Because they're already, Daita has given them assignments. Whoever is speaking tomorrow has set of verses. Paramkarna is speaking tomorrow. Right? Oh. No, not me. Because it's sweet. It has very lot of practical applications of appreciation. Huh? Tomorrow is Daita. Oh yeah. It's already clear what he wants to do. If you can give me about 7 more minutes, then we'll touch. Give me 7 more minutes, we'll do this. Where he says, we cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything. Why is that? Huh? Resources are, yeah, but we are a living entity. What's our nature as living entity? Are we energetic or energy? Energy. And energy cannot move without energetic. The reason the energy feels, it is the energetic. That's the illusion. So Krishna, now practically how that operates. So let's take hunger. The prompt for hunger is a cognitive feeling, because I'm in this body, the energy is low, and that's when I feel hungry. I have a metabolic system that tells me, Prabhu, we need more energy. Right? So within this system, for example, we're just talking hunger right now, we'll talk of other things. As soon as the metabolic process has less energy, Krishna's system is such that there is a prompt, that there is fire in the stomach. And what does Krishna say about fire in the stomach? Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha. I, in my feature as Vaishvanara, I reside in the stomach. Prana Apana Samayukta Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. And I bring equilibrium in the exhaling and inhaling, and I help digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. So without Krishna's endeavor and Krishna's prompt that you're hungry, you need energy, the living entity will not go to get food. So it's that's how he's built. Now that's one thing. Eating, sleeping. Krishna's this prompt. Although it's a hard one to say because we don't need much prompt to sleep. But for sleep, there are prompts. What are the prompts for sleeping? Bead bag, that's right. Or a class, whatever. But the prompt is in outside of us, the way the sun and moon they work, and the mode of ignorance, it makes things such that one has to fall asleep. Or now that's environmental. Within, there are prompts. Either it's one is even if one is not tired, one will be feeling sleepy after a particular day's work. Because once we eat, there is a way in which the metabolic rate changes, especially night time, etc., etc., and the eyelids start. That's the physical prompt. But in general, from within, Krishna allows for the mode of ignorance to manifest for us. So there's prompting, sleep. There's also prompting to wake up. For some of us, it doesn't work because super soul is hidden deep in the crevices somewhere. But there's a prompt from super soul to wake up. Now, waking up is not just that the body is awake. Waking up is that the subtle body is also active. We can remember our name. We can identify this is a toothbrush. This goes into the mouth, not the ear. Things like that. The whole patterns of things connected to each other is immediately revived. There are some times that when we wake up, we can't tell whether it is daytime or nighttime. Any had that experience? I had it 3 days ago. And especially because by 5:15, it's dark. So I had to take a nap because I was very tired. I set my alarm for about 40 minutes. So that I'll be up in 40 minutes. I don't know when in my sleep I went from, you know, whatever, the alarm was ringing to shutting it off. And I fell asleep again. And suddenly at 5:15, and all I could see is from the windows, dark. I looked at the clock, it's at 5:15. I said, I missed Mangalarti. And then it took me about 45 seconds to figure out, it's 5:15 p.m. Oh my gosh. Because I was in such deep sleep that my intelligence, which is quite, you know, rare anyway, but with that, like, wow, 5:15 p.m. So Krishna's prompt as intelligence, he's the overall intelligence. Sometimes we call that inspiration. Most scientists or mechanistic view persons, worldview persons, will call this, what they say is called, not intuition. Oh man, I lost that word. Instinct, thank you. Instinct. That instinct is not our understanding. Instinct is, it's Paramatma guiding for hunger, for procreation, for sleep, all of that. Because depending upon the orientation of my consciousness, that prompt will be according. If I want to convince myself that God doesn't exist, like today, that's the expect. I want to convince myself God doesn't exist, love of Godhead doesn't exist, we can be very sure that Krishna will give us all the evidences of feeling it to be true. This is why the atheists are so flourishing, because Krishna is prompting them all the different intricate ways by which they can prove that God does, or they can say that God doesn't exist. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something similar. You know what he used to do as a young scholar? He would meet people and debate with them. And he would say, here's my premise and proposition, prove me wrong. No one could debate with Nimai Pandit. They'd be like, oh, I'm a scholar, but no, your argument is 100% correct from all angles of view. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take their position and defeat his own argument. And after he defeated his argument, he would tell them, now you prove me wrong. He would say, how can I prove you wrong when, you know, the original argument I could not prove wrong. Now how can I prove you wrong? And then 5 minutes later, he'd go on this side of the viewpoint and debate that and prove that is wrong. And this is what he did whole day. And people were like, Nimai Pandit. So if we have that conviction, if we turn our attention from Krishna, Krishna will give us all reasons to stay in darkness. And if we turn our attention to Krishna, he'll give us all the reasons to see the light. This is how the prompt works. Mattas sarvascha chaham hridi sannivishta. We should appreciate these verses because this is how life moves for us. For all living entities, of course. For everyone. That inner inspiration that Krishna prompts in different ways. So when we get a prompting and we're convinced, Krishna is speaking to me like this, we should ask, what is the orientation of my consciousness? Was I in a mood of service? Or am I in the mood of service to get this prompting? So it's sometimes said that we should not make significant life-changing decisions when we are in our down spiral, you know, downward trajectory. Like things are going wrong, the devotees are not happy with us, my chanting is terrible. At that time you make a decision. I should, whatever, find a job and become financially more stable. Hold on. That's not the space to make big decisions. Or Brahmachari Ashram is not working for me. I think if I get married, I think there'll be more bliss. Well, hold on. We should make decisions, life-changing decisions when we are on the upswing. Because Krishna will give us evidences according to our orientation of consciousness. This is why we're eternally told, when you're feeling really low, don't make major decisions. Because it will most likely be the wrong decision. Make big decisions on when you're on the upswing. So if you ever meet someone who's on a low and they want to make big decisions, the only thing we can convince them in doing is take a month. Just chant nicely every day. Hear nicely every day. Serve the devotees. And maybe after a month, you see if the same decision still is applicable. And in many cases, they'll be like, I think I was heading the wrong way. Okay, final paragraph. Another specific feature of the knowledge given in this verse is that Shabda Brahma is also a form of the Supreme Lord. In his eternal blissful form, Lord Krishna is accepted by Arjuna as Param Brahma. A living entity in the conditioned stage accepts something illusory as substantial. Asatyera Satyakarimani. This is called Maya or Avidya, ignorance. Therefore, according to Vedic knowledge, one must become a devotee and one must then distinguish between avidya and vidya, which are elaborately explained in the Ishopanishad. When one is actually on the platform of vidya, he can personally understand the personality of Godhead in his forms like those of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna and Sankarsana. The Vedic knowledge is described as the breathing of the Supreme Lord and activities begin on the basis of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, the Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, the material universes come into existence and various activities gradually develop. Yasvaika nisvasita kala matavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Nishwasa means exhaling. Uchvasa means inhaling. So by whose exhalation from every pore of his body, universes manifest. Because when Lord breathes, his endeavor first, then our endeavor. So when he exhales, material universes manifest and our activities begin. When he inhales, our activities stop. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranavaha Sarva Vedeshu. What is Pranava? The Om sound called Pranava. Pranava means that which gives life. Prana, Pranava. I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound Pranava, Omkara. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Abhinnatvam Nama Naminoho. There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. So anyone ever asked you why we don't chant Om? What is the reason? It's not like we don't chant Om. We say Nama Om. We say Om Ajnana. But there is a reason why we don't. Our meditation is not on Om. But instead it's on Hare Krishna. Why? Why Om brings you to impersonal realm? Very good. Om talks about that feature, the Brahman aspect, which is the substance of everything, which is the basis of everything. Krishna says Brahman is the basis of everything. So when one vibrates Om, one's realization will be of that substance, Brahman. But the Hare Krishna mantra is very specifically calling out to the form of Krishna and Radharani. So one's realization will be according to mantra is one's realization. Whatever is one's mantra, that's one's realization. If one's mantra is money, 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 the realization will be money. If one's mantra is something else, that's their realization. So if one chants Om, that's their realization. Although Krishna is, Om is the impersonal feature of Krishna. Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. So Prabhupada is asking us to appreciate that Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma, the form and the name, both are Krishna. This is why we chant Hare Krishna. Because there is no difference between the name of Krishna and the form of Krishna or Krishna himself. If there was a distinction, then chanting Hare Krishna would not make sense. It would become a material sound. Because in matter, the sound and the object are different. Like water. Water, 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 water. This makes us more thirsty. But when we say Krishna, 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 then our thirst goes away. It is both literally and spiritually speaking. Literally, thirst goes away. That's why in fasting days we chant Krishna and we don't feel hungry and thirsty. And the thirst for matter also goes away. From Krishna, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that our Trishna goes away. Trishna means lust for matter. Trishna goes away. It's the mirage. Mirage is called Mriga Trishna. Mriga is with a deer. It looks at the mirage and thinks, is water. So Krishna removes that Trishna. Okay. Sorry, I went longer than... Yes, Michael Prabhu. Go ahead. Those who have to go can go. If you have something else scheduled, you can go.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. This is regarding a point about Krishna giving us intelligence. I watched a video Acharya Anishta pulled up, and it gave an example of a tsunami was like 2 days before a tsunami hit, I believe, Indonesia or some country.
All the animals ran away.
All the animals left like 2 days before, and there's no animal casualties, and it was all human casualties. Mm-hmm. Those are only casualties. And it was saying that we didn't get that intelligence to leave because we're not connected with our true nature, and animals are really connected to their true nature, and therefore they're more connected to Paramatma. So I was wondering if you can expand on this point.
Was it a devotional video?
Yeah, it was.
No, because if it was someone else, I may have to refute
Discovery
something
Channel.
They said. Animals are connected to nature in the sense, animals, if you notice, they're always living in harmony with nature. They do not do anything against the natural flow of nature. Human beings, they're in complete disharmony with nature. We do all, we rape nature. We would just hear this verse, it says, Yayedam dharyate jagat, that the exploitation is to such a degree that we actually are in severe disharmony with nature. We violate it. Harmony means not violating, and disharmony means to violate. So we violate nature. So that's one thing. Second, animals don't incur karma. Human beings do. Animals are just living out their karma. So because of these two, the sense of danger, that human beings can't sense danger so easily. They do foolish things. Animals do. So then the prompt is there for them. Now, some human beings would have also have left, you know, like in the Twin Towers. Some people didn't go to work that day. Something happened. They didn't get to work. They missed their train. Something. But many others were there. So it's the cycle of how karmic reactions are fed. Some devotee was explaining that in Japan, when the tsunami hit, every time there is a tsunami about to happen, there's a particular fish that shows up. I forget the name of that fish. And that is an indicator there's something, some disaster from the sea is going to come. And this fish showed up. Most people ignored it. And then some time later, the big wall came. So there are prompts in nature for everyone. But we don't pay attention to those prompts. We're too busy. Too busy going after sense gratification.
Since we're running low on time, I'll try to keep this brief as possible. It's in regards to the last point, what does that verse say? Abhinatvam.
Abhinatvam.
Nama.
Abhinatvam means non-difference. Nama, name, and namino, the name.
So I remember my brother was giving a class, and I remember this verse. I think I looked it up. It's from Chaitanya. It's a very important verse. Madhya Lila 17.133. So a lot of devotees may have some concerns in this regard. Like in the Gita 4.7, Krishna says, whenever and wherever there's a decline of religion, I descend myself. So we may think, where's Krishna now? You know, all these wars are going on. So then the answer is given in that verse. You know, Krishna is not different from his name. But at the same time, you know, and I remember in 7:25 of the Gita, Prabhupada's report, he said when Krishna was personally on the earth, everyone saw him. But the difference is that when you're a devotee, you get to see him actually personally as God. And when you're a non-devotee, you don't get to see him.
You see him as ordinary.
Yeah. So at the same time, in our devotional life, we may wonder, why don't I feel the presence of God in his holy name? It's due, like you said, maybe at the beginning, we don't serve the devotees, due to offenses in that sense. So this... Lord Chaitanya in his Madhya Lila chapter 19, he says offenses completely wipes out everything of your devotional service. And I was meditating on this point, and it reminded me of some quote that I heard Ben Franklin say. He said, it takes many good deeds to build a good reputation, and only one bad deed to ruin it all. And so this reminded me of Vaishnava Para. And in regards to our devotee relationship, we could also say that it takes many agreements to build a good relationship and only one disagreement to ruin it all. And me and Michael was talking about this point the other day, just like if 99 people glorified you, one person insults you, it doesn't matter about the 99. Just like a white wall, a complete white wall, and then there's one black spot. You're like, it's ruined. It's completely ruined. And so we wonder why this is, and I was meditating on this point. The verse that came to me is Prahlad Maharajan 7:8-9. He says that except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there's no enemy within this world.
That's what he told his father.
Yeah, he told
his father wanted to kill him for saying that.
Exactly. So that's all, one disagreement. One disagreement, and then shoot. So that's all I have to say in that regard. So Hare
Krishna. Not only offenses, a person may not make offenses. At the same time, one may not have a proper regard for what the holy name is. Then also, if you think the holy name is ordinary, that of course is an offense. We recite the third offense. Oh, it's ordinary, like any other name. Then also, it doesn't manifest, because it's not ordinary. Rupa Goswami's instruction is, Kintu Adarat Anudinam, with great regard and respect, every day, one should chant. Okay, 8:50. Anyone else? You have a question? Okay.
So I was thinking if you can quickly just tell us what lacks our determination.
Man, I forget that statement. I forget that thought also.
So first you define what is determination to keep doing those things even if you don't like, but something which lacks our determination. So what are those things which lacks our determination?
Well, according to Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta. So what weakens determination is exactly the opposite of this, the corollary side, sinful activity and absorption in duality. When we see things on a dual platform, good and bad, profit and loss, gain and you know, whatever, I like, I don't like, then that weakens our determination. So the antidote for that is whether you like it or not, like that. So then it increases determination. And the impelling force of doing something sinful, it weakens determination. So therefore, it is described that one way to build determination is to take up austerities. Austerity. You see that determination feeds the austerity and austerity feeds the determination. Determination comes from austerity. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, are very austere. So very determined. Foolishly determined, but determined. It builds, austerity builds willpower. Some people are very austere. They're very determined. So our austerity is for pleasing Krishna, so that our determination is for serving Him. One can be very austere and determined for something material. Then that is considered waste of time. Good thing, wasted. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry. That's right. Intoxication.
Sorry for keeping you long. It was a long purport. I didn't want to glaze over it.